And what Peter tells us is that there are basically four areas that God is looking for. And I wrote this week, and I guess it's because my wife asked me to make my monthly trip to Stop and Shop for her, and so I went. And I'm always accosted at that place with the utter grossness of our society. You know, they make you walk through this tunnel to pay for your stuff, and it's all this cheap, you know, either candy on one side and all the gizmos on the other and all the filthy magazines on the end caps. You know, that's just how it is. You got to walk through there. And as I was walking through there, you know, I don't remember what it said. Dolly Parton was picked up by a UFO. Elvis Presley was seen in New York City. I can't remember all the headlines that were on the newspaper and magazines. But I noticed that most of the covers had ladies, or women at least, on them. And I thought, what we're going to talk about here in 1 Peter 3 is not in Vogue. It's not in Cosmopolitan. It's not in Vanity Fair or McCall's or whatever. I don't even know what the ladies' magazines are nowadays, Victoria and all these different magazines. But I do know this. Those represent culture that's depraved. This represents eternal character that God is longing to see in us. In four areas, and let me just go through this with you. Verses 1 and 2 tell us that a godly woman, married, unmarried, a godly woman, young or old, in her actions, she must line up with God's plan for the church and the home. Let me read that to you again, because in short, what God says is, I want you to be phupotasso. I want you to line up. That's what it means. It says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive. And by the way, the word wives is gune. That's just the word for woman. If it's a woman related to a man, she's a wife. If it's a woman not related to a man, she's a gune, a woman. And so this is, in context, speaking to wives, because husbands are mentioned. But in the broadest sense of the scripture, this is speaking to women. And women in God's plan are to, number one, line up with God's biblical order for the home, for the church, for their personal lives. They are to be submissive. And how are they to be submissive? It says you are to have a life that so lines up that people that watch you, particularly your husband, verse 2, will observe your chaste behavior. What's that? Chaste. That's kind of a funny old word, isn't it? It speaks of the holy, submissive character of someone that knows that God has providentially chosen a role for them to live out. When I was born, I did not know that God had chosen for me to be a father, a husband, a pastor, and all the other ramifications of my life. But I did know that His Word told me how to live. And as I followed Him step by step, He instructed me how to live. When you were born, you didn't know what realm God was going to call you into. But if you were a woman, God has an order, a pattern for you to follow. If you were born a man, God has a pattern for you to follow. Now, in our world, what they're trying to say is knock down the walls that you can be either one. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Because part of God's calling for a woman is to be feminine. I was waiting for my son at nursery school outside the YMCA, and I watched all the ladies weightlifters coming out of the Y. And I thought, where has femininity gone? I mean, it used to be only the boys that stood in front of the mirrors and tried to see their muscles. What happened to lace and femininity? Part of the Satanist prayers and their worship of the God of this world for the destruction of the Christian family is that women forget there to be women. Men neglect and forget that there to be men. And children think that they're parents. And just ruin the Christian family like the world's family is. Number one, verses 1 and 2 say, ladies, whatever place you are in life, let your actions line up with God's plan. You say, what's God's plan? Well, let me just show you. Look at 1 Timothy. That's back about four or five books. 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, this talks about how a woman at the end of her life is to be honored for a godly life. And so God says the end of your life is better than the beginning of your life. And if the end of your life is the best time, and if you've lived right, honor a woman that is a godly woman. And look at verse 9. This is specifically widows that the church is to support. 1 Timothy 5, 9 and 10. Here's what a woman that has lived her whole life pleasing in the sight of God is supposed to look like. Let a widow be put on the list of the church, to be supported. If she is not less than 60 years old, that means don't be ashamed of how old you are. Don't always try and hide it. Don't go to great expenses to make yourself look 20 years younger than you are. There's nothing wrong with being 60. In fact, it was a great honor to obtain 60 years in the church. Having been the wife of one man, and by the way, this is exactly the same construction, only in the opposite form as it talks about for an elder. An elder is to be a heis gunaikos andros, one woman man. And this woman is to be a heis andros gunaikos, a one man woman. Doesn't mean she had one husband. It means that she had one man all of her life. If he died and she was married to another one, that's fine. But she only was a one-man sort of woman. That means she wasn't flirting with every guy that came by, you know, and opening her life to all of them. She was very focused. She had an eye single. So she was morally pure in her focus. But then look at verse 10. Having a reputation for good works. Her life had a reputation that she did good works in the sight of God. And here's what they were. She brought up children. Now what happens if she never had children? Well, in the first century, that was not a problem. Because in the first century, instead of aborting them, they just threw them on the garbage pile. Nowadays, they suck them up and chew them up and put them down the garbage disposal at the abortion clinics. Back then, they were born and they just threw them on the trash pile. A lot of people don't realize that exposure was one of the greatest killers of children in the first century. A father would see that baby after it was born. It would be placed at his feet. And if he opened his arms to the baby, they took him in the house. If he closed his life to him and crossed his arms, they threw him out on the trash pile. And those kids were scavenged off the trash piles by people, raised, if they were a girl, for the houses of prostitution, raised for the arena, if it was a boy, for a gladiator, or saved by a Christian family and raised, if perhaps that child might be brought to Christ. So this woman, either if she had children, she nourished them up in the Lord. If she didn't, she raised other people's children. She showed hospitality to strangers. She wasn't all caught up with her own world, running madly in every direction, just filling her life to the fullest so there's room for no one. She was constantly looking for people to minister and to bring them into her home so that they could be influenced for Christ. She washed the saints' feet. That means she was letting Christians come over to her house, and instead of hiring a servant, she would wash their feet at the door. She was a very humble servant of Christ. She assisted those in distress. That was really something. Christians were always kind of in trouble. They were getting thrown in jail. They were being persecuted. She would assist them, which meant she put herself in danger. And she devoted herself to every good work. Look at the two books away. Look at Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. I want you to see the same list. It's amazing. And by the way, God's plan for the family, and I'm glad I didn't think this up because I couldn't endure the scorn it would take. But God's plan for the family is that a woman be at home. You go, wait a minute, our society's changed. You know, we've got to have two incomes to buy a house. And, you know, we've got, and my kids are in school. And there's no P.S. on there. Did you know God's word says, let's read it, verses 3 through 5. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the younger women, or young ones, to love their husbands. By the way, this is the word phileo. It's not agapao. It's not the resignation, the love of Christ that would do anything and go to the cross for us. This is not that kind of love. This is emotional love. And younger women need to be taught, the Bible says, how to emotionally love their husband. Not say, I love you like Christ does, but I love you emotionally. I have strong romantic feelings, and they need to learn that because men respond to that. But learn to love their husbands. Number two, learn to love their children, not put up with them, endure them, can't wait to get them back to school. Learn to love them and to be emotionally involved in their lives, to be sensible. Now here it comes, verse 5, to be pure, to be workers at home. You know what's so sad? There's no P.S. saying, yeah, you know, later on you can pursue your career. Why? What's the Christian family? The Christian family is a godly mother raising her children or influencing someone else's for the Lord. When her children are grown, she does not go into the workforce. She becomes a godly woman helping the younger women. Why is it we have so many young women nowadays that don't know how to love their husbands, don't know how to raise their children, are at their wits' ends? It's because the older women are not fulfilling God's calling for them to minister in the church with the younger women. Did you know it doesn't say in here, Titus, counsel all the ladies in the church? He was a pastor. He wasn't involved. Why? The older women counseled all the younger women with all their marital problems, with all their parenting problems, with all their children problems, with all their emotional needs. The older women were there. And that's what God said was lining up with the church. You say, well, that's certainly not 20th century. You're right. It's not. But that is what God's Word says. Real quickly, back to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Number one, in their actions, they're supposed to line up with God's plan in the church, in the home, in their personal lives.